You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Welcome to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today's show is discovering Social Security spousal benefits, which, you know, that's a mouthful, Hans. But as always, I think the Bible speaks to this in a way, and it's really something God has been showing me this week. I really, really love this verse in the Psalms. It's 107:41. It says, "He sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock." I mean, what a promise from my perspective, because if you're like me, you got a family, and you want them to be the shepherd's flock. I mean, like, oh my goodness, if they were in Jesus' flock, you know, mission accomplished. You know, like, but still, they're in your flock, and you want them set far from affliction. And so when I think about spousal benefits, the thing that I've come to understand since getting to know you is all my understandings about what Social Security did in the case of my death and what my wife would get, et cetera, I was just like totally ignorant and thought things that were just not the case. And so I really like today's topic, Hans, to really uncover somebody, if they were thinking like I was, like, whoa, that's not true. Like, I thought that if I died at any point in life, you know, after, you know, that my wife would get my Social Security, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work like that.
Okay, so today's show, we're talking about spousal benefits. And so in Robbie, where he's looking at it from his own perspective, as many of you are, you're currently married. Okay, you're married, husband, wife, and spousal benefits apply to you.
Right.
But they also apply if you've ever been married. So to the people that are single, if you've ever been married and you were married to another person for 10 years or more, and they're now, you're either divorced or they're deceased, there's a benefit there for you.
Right.
And I want to give you some education on that. And
so we're going to get all these. This is kind of where we're headed. So, but let's just say that I was going along like I thought it was going along at, say, 55, and Tammy's 7 years younger than me. And so, you know, she'd have been, you know, about 38 or 37 at the time, and I'd passed away at 55. I would have told you that Tammy will start to get my Social Security as soon as I die. It's just not the case.
No, it's just, so your Social Security benefit, whatever that would have been at 66,
right,
that would establish the number based on your earnings history for Tammy, because you're now deceased, so they're going to go forward to establish the number, but when she can get that is going to be based on Tammy's age.
And so you know, which actually applies right now.
She's going to have to wait a number of years.
Because Tammy isn't 60 yet, and so, you know,
well,
here
even
I
if
am.
You take it at 60, she'd have to not remarry before 60.
Well, I'll have to tell her that.
Benefit. Yeah.
I'll make sure to outline that.
Well, that's one of the rules. But if she doesn't remarry before 60, she could also take it at 60, but it'll be a reduced benefit, and it'll also reduce her ability to earn an income, outside income. So, you know, they're just not what you think they are. So let me just go over a couple of rules. I mean, number one is if this marriage is in the past, so if a person is divorced or the person that you were married to is deceased, so you're a widow or widower, and you're not yet 65 or you're 66 or full retirement age, but you're just out there, you're a single person, and you're thinking that your own work record is going to determine your Social Security check, and it might if you have a good, strong work record. but you're going to be able to file on your either deceased or divorced spouse record, as long as you don't remarry before 60, you're going to be entitled to a benefit at full retirement or perhaps even early based upon your age in the future.
Yeah, well, this was news to me because I was like, wow, you mean, so clearly I need to have whatever life insurance in place to take care of Tammy until she reaches the age where she would get her full benefit of what my Social Security would have been, because she didn't work much, you know, when I was running the dealership and all that stuff, so her income wasn't very high. And so, like, wow, it would be traumatic for me to live under that assumption that she was going to have an income coming in when I passed away turned full retirement age.
So you need life insurance. Let's assume you're not going to be gone in the next few years, okay? I mean, so you need to carry life insurance till you're on Social Security, but then you need to carry it for another 8 to 10 years or whatever till Tammy's full retirement age, because she's not going to be entitled to the survivor benefit off of your record until she's full retirement age. So you're going to need life insurance benefit for that whole time. And then after that, so you're like 75 and she's 65 or whatever the numbers are, you still need it after that, because you're going to be getting your full Social Security check. She's going to be getting half of your Social Security check as a spousal benefit, and you're going to be living off of that. If you later die, which you probably will at some point, and it's probably going to be before her, maybe, maybe not, but then what's going to happen is she's going to get your full benefit, which is nice, but hers is going to go away. So you still need life insurance.
Right, so numbers in that, so that for the audience's benefit, I don't mind telling you that my Social Security, if I wait till 70 to apply for, which I'm going to do, or is my plan currently because I'm working, would be right around $3,000 of what I would get because I'm waiting. However, right. You know, one of the misunderstandings I had, well, that Tammy would get half, which would be $1,500, but that's not the case. You get half of your full retirement age, which is about $2,600. So Tammy's half will really only be about $1,300. Am I right?
Right. That's
and so
right.
You got my $3,000. And you got her $1,300 when she reaches the 66 and whatever right. month she's got to be by the time that happens. And so there's $4,300. Now, you know, I die at 82 or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, she loses. She's no longer getting 43. She will just get the $3,000, which is one of the big reasons that I really want to wait till I'm 70, because if I take my full retirement age at 66 and a half, she's going to be stuck with that check because she's so much younger than me. She's going to be stuck with that smaller check all the rest of her life.
I'm doing exactly the same thing with mine for Rhonda, okay? And the numbers aren't that different. But this is a big deal. When I call on these folks 75, 80 years old that are living this, and then I call after the first spouse dies, you can look at Social Security and say that's not a lot of money, or it's this or it's that. It's a lot of money to these people. I don't care how well off they are. It's a check that comes in every month, and you need to plan for it. So I want to go to another example. My sister, Margot, passed away at age 57, and I'm still sad about it. And she was very near and dear, and she was a nurse practitioner. And she had three jobs. It's probably some of what killed her. She had an aneurysm. Working us Shiles are all workers, you know, and worker bees. And her husband, who is still my CPA and still a good friend, he was 55 when she passed away at 57. Now, she made more money than he does, or did. I mean, she significantly more money. So he wants to get her Social Security benefit when he's through working, and he's entitled to it. So, but because he's 2 years younger, 55, he wasn't going to see any Social Security benefit for 11 years. And that's really a couple of years from now. And I coach him on this well, he's coaching me on my taxes and he does a lot of stuff. But, you know, I've coached him through this. One key thing is he couldn't remarry before 60 and still get this benefit. So in other words, she died, he survived. If he would have remarried someone before age 60, then this benefit would, on her Social Security, would not be eligible. But he made it to 60, not remarried. He actually made it to 65, which is coming up here this month. He still is going to wait till full retirement age because he's still working. But in full retirement age for him is like 66 and 2 months or whatever. And so when that month gets here, he'll file for the spousal survivor benefit and he'll get what would have been her full Social Security check for the rest of his life. Now, he won't get his. So when you take that benefit based on a spouse, you don't get to keep yours. So he'll never file on his own work record. He'll just have it based upon the surviving spouse.
So you may be thinking, wow, there's a lot to this. There's a lot of information, and there is a lot of information. That's why Hans wrote a book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. And there are the seven worries that are on this book that are listed right there in the title, and he's placed them at his website, which is cardinalguide.com, which we talk about all the time. You got to put the cardinal before guide, and cardinalguide.com. And if you click on those seven worries tab, you can get the Social Security tab just absolutely free. And oh my goodness, my misunderstandings. Like, I was so ignorant about Social Security and some of these, you know, ins and outs that were really critical to, you know, what God said in that psalm, that we want our families to be far from calamity. Well, the sad news is that if you got to know what this stuff is so that you can plan for it appropriately, you know, and there's a lot of ins and outs to it. So this is really helpful information. You can order the whole book, right, at the website, or you can go on Amazon and get it, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and the accompanying workbook, all available there at cardinalguide.com.
Yeah, you just send me a message on the website to Hans and just tell me you'd like the book, or send it to Mackenzie, who's my associate. We'll ship the book out to you, no charge. We'd like to get you the information. So,
yeah, because this is, you know, I had really, you know, like, whoa. I mean, it was a really pleasant surprise for me when I realized, wow, you know, by the time Tammy's getting half of mine and that, and $4,300 a month is a lot of money. And you know, we can look forward to that, you know, into whatever. But then obviously you got to protect your family to keep them far from calamity, which the Good Shepherd, he's going to do that. So when we come back, we got a few more stories. I think you'll be shocked. I'm shocked to know some of the things that are in this code that are available to us, and some that you think are available that's not there. So we'll be back.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
So welcome back to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today's show, discovering Social Security spousal benefits. And that's whether it's your spouse or you're the spouse. You know, there's all sorts of these things involved in it. And as promised, Hans, you got a story that I think everybody ought to hear this story.
Yeah,
and before it just kind of blows my mind.
Before I tell the story, after you hear this story, you might be inclined to say, oh, that's the problem with the Social Security system. They're paying out too much money to two spouses or whatever benefits. And what I would like to suggest to people, especially if you're right at retirement or you're in retirement, is let's just let the government worry about the Social Security systems and sending the check. And let's just get focused on your benefits and how you can affect them. And the reason I say that is that people spend a lot of energy analyzing this stuff for the government and going on a lot of things that usually part of them's true. And it just causes a lot of, let's just say, distraction from how this stuff really works. And it's not a lot of benefit to the kingdom, I think, to be dissing Social Security or offering suggestions of how they ought to manage it.
Right.
And we'll get focused on our own benefits. So this lady, she was married to a high-earning man back in the 70s and 80s, and she was married for 12 years.
He was a doctor, am I right?
Yeah. Yep. Made a lot of money. And then she had a couple of children, and they were divorced. And she didn't have much of an earnings record. Well, she was married to him. She didn't work, or didn't work much. And then after she left him, or he left her, or whatever, she was raising the children. And so she just really doesn't have much of an earnings history. So she, at some point, got herself educated on what benefits she's entitled to based upon his Social Security. And, you know, a good divorce lawyer, I guess, is going to educate you on that kind of stuff. And she discovered that when she reaches full retirement age, at age 66 for her at that time, based on her age, not his, that she will be entitled to collect half of his Social Security benefit as an alternative to her Social Security benefit, which wasn't very big because this lady established a career in her 50s and 60s. So she was doing well, but she hadn't done well long enough to accumulate a nice benefit to where half of his was better than all of hers. What she also discovered, which she knew all along, obviously, he remarried to a woman about the same age as her. She also was collecting the 50% spousal benefit. So you had two spouses being paid out about $1,500 a month, him being paid out over $3,000 a month, all based upon his earning record. So they're going along, marching along. She's doing her job. She's got this small, relatively small Social Security check. He dies. She hadn't been married to him for like 30 years, kind of thing. He dies. Her benefit then goes to his full Social Security benefit, which had grown through inflation to like $3,500 a month. She was getting paid $3,500 a month. And the surviving spouse, which he was still married to at his death, she's getting $3,500 a month. So the government, the Social Security system, was paying $7,000 a month out for the rest of their lives to both of these women. He's dead.
Right. And both of them actually needed it. I mean, you know, you can see where this is.
Well, and the surviving spouse needed it worse than this lady did, because this was just a windfall when the Social Security check doubled when he died, but it wasn't a windfall for the lady that was married to him, because their household was getting his check and her check, and then
which
when
would
he
have been $4,500, yeah, and now it's down to $3,000.
Yeah. So there was a loss there in household income. But, you know, what we're really wanting to do on this show is we're wanting to get across to people that there's a benefit for you based upon being married to somebody for longer than 10 years. And if you don't remarry before 60, or you haven't remarried before 60, there's going to be a benefit for you, but that benefit is not really going to start until you're in your mid-60s.
Which speaks to an extent, to get a big overview of the whole Social Security system. I think you said it well as we were preparing for the show, that Social Security was set up with the overall idea of taking care of society, not having individual benefits for individual situations so much as making sure that people are taken care of at some level, and we don't have people out, and we're not
and that benefits level. Society.
Right.
I mean, it just, so you got this whole system. It's really set up in self-interest for the government. Let's just put it that way, where we don't have people in the streets. Well, we do have people in the streets, but a lot of that is by choice, is that most people in this country are eligible for some kind of a check if they would just get in and apply for it and stay with the rules. And specifically, Social Security provides a you know, a base level of income to keep people of some minimal level of living, and it also takes care of the sick. And I mean, where you were confused earlier that you thought if you died at 55 and Tammy was 45, that at your death she would start getting your check, where the confusion comes is it's possible if that would have happened that she would have gotten some check because she was taking care of minor children. Okay, so there's a benefit for that. I don't want to get into the details of that, but that's not a spousal benefit. It's a, I guess you could say it's a spousal benefit, but it's, so if she was not working or didn't have a strong worker, you died, you have minor children, you're going to get a benefit, but that benefit is going to stop when those kids graduate from high school or they turn 18 and they're no longer in school. It's over with. So that's an even worse situation where a benefit starts, but then it has an end date. So there's a need for life insurance that people have, and that
if they make that decision when they're 40 or 50 or even 60, it beats, from a standpoint of, you know, getting a rate for the rest of your life, those would be really great decisions. Well, you made them when you were much younger, and they've reached, you know, huge benefits. And I mean, I even think about my own situation with Tammy. You know, we made a lot of life insurance decisions back years ago and before I got cancer. And boy, it really...
Well, that's one reason to buy life insurance when you're younger, is it's less expensive. But I can give you another reason. You might die soon. So you could look at the... But the benefit for me is I can buy it for less. But I mean, it just, so that's one reason. You get it at a bit lower rate. But how about thinking of if I'm absent, you know, I bought my life insurance for the cash and accumulation benefits, and I borrowed against it for my business, and I did all that kind of stuff. So I got the greed factor as well. But if I would have died like a year or two or three after I bought it, or five or seven, Rhonda would have gotten, you know, a couple million bucks or whatever. I mean, and that's just, she didn't need it.
Right. Because, you know, one of the heartbreaks, you know, of my age is, you know, we have friends that pass away, you know, more and more.
Sure.
And the older I get, the, you know, my mother used to say, you know, I'm building up more treasure in heaven every day because your friends are passing away. But as you do, you see, like, oh my goodness, this dear friend was a good man. He was a good man. Left nothing due to some circumstances, no life insurance. Literally, his widow was in a situation like, how am I going to bury my husband? How am I going to bury? And what does Social Security give us? $250, you said?
$255.
Yeah, and so here's this, you know, actually, I know that it was his son that ended up paying to bury his father. And it was just, you know, one of those things that just pulled at your heartstrings, like, man, you know, he didn't think he was going to die. Obviously, none of us do.
I mean, pensions work the same way. If you're 40 years old or 45 years old and married, and your spouse works somewhere and they're entitled to a pension, which is rare these days, but, if, you know, they work for the government or something, and there's a benefit of $3,000 a month that you would have if you'd have lived, your spouse is entitled to something, but they don't get it till the spouse is 65. I mean, they don't start sending you a pension check to a widow that's 40 based upon the death of a worker. I mean, it's just, the stuff's in the future. So that's what calls for life insurance. If you've got a standard of living or just a minimum standard of living, that's what life insurance was invented for. And, you know, if you say you can't afford it, you can use term insurance. I mean, term insurance was set for that. And we can guarantee term premiums for 20 or 30 years, very inexpensively.
Or for those people who are 72 and a half now, based on, or, you know, looking at minimum distributions on their IRAs, there's all sorts of ways to
leverage just,
that.
You need life insurance at every age. And, you know, the only life insurance policy that's really valuable to you is the one that's in force on the day you die. And it's not so much valuable to you as it's valuable to the flock. It connects to our signature, to the family, to the beneficiaries. It's valuable to you just knowing that's there. That just gives me so much comfort of just knowing my family and my spouse are going to be just fine if I'm and, if I don't make it back also, to Raleigh today.
You know, we've talked about it many, many times, but it bears repeating that they're going to get that tax-free. They don't have to, you know, like cut money out of an IRA or other money that would be taxed, that would be income. This is not going to be income to them. That for time immemorial, they've said life insurance benefits are...
They come tax-free to the beneficiaries. And then the real creativeness is to continue the interest that's made on that money is to make that tax-free or tax-exempt or low-taxed. I mean, so that it brings on another financial planning opportunity. But we, that's what we do.
Okay. So with today's show, again, it's part of the Seven Worries tab there at cardinalguy.com under Social Security, which, you know, we were doing Social Security spousal benefits today. And as we've always said, you can get the free PDF there. You can order the book at the website. Lots of information that is really, really helpful. When you really, if you're looking at your family, your flock, you want it to be Christ's flock, but you want them to be far from affliction. It's worth getting some information, especially, you know, when it's lying in the street and it's absolutely free. You just go to cardinalguide.com.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Han's best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Han's book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.